I was sitting in the library last night, about 11:15, and we got into a very lengthy discussion with a group of teenagers that I was talking to, and I was trying to articulate to them in plain English and understandable words things about our faith. These things about our faith are kind of confusing. If they confuse our teenagers, if they confuse us as adults, I mean, our faith is something that's very beautiful, it's very simple, and at the same time, it's very complex. If I try to look for really easy examples to articulate things about the faith. And so one of the things I said to the teenagers was, let's say we're sitting in the library, and we desire to go through the hall. We desire to walk from the library, which is on the far end of the school building, through the hall. Right? That's the end goal. We all agree that's the end goal. And I said, okay, go to it. Well, there are multiple exits in that building. So someone may take this exit, someone may take that exit, someone may take the other exit. But as long as we end up in the hall, our agreed upon endpoint, we've succeeded in our journey. Now let's say that I told them, we're done in here, leave. Right? Someone may go out this door, and someone may go out that door, and someone may go out the other door, but I might not ever see them again. Because we haven't established an end goal. I didn't tell them what the end was, I just said, go. And so some may end up in Starbucks, and some may end up in CVS, and some may end up in the hall, and some may go home. And what I was getting at in this discussion is, what is the end point of our journey as Orthodox Christians? What's the end point? Right, because if we don't have an end point, and we just sort of get turned loose from the church, we're just going to kind of go every which way. All right, without an end point, we don't know where we're going. So what's the end point? I mean, what's the whole point of all this? Anybody? What's the end point of Christianity? What? Heaven. We all agree on that? Okay, good. Now, I hope no one disagrees with that. That is the end point. If you're not agreeing with that, come see me after church. I have not done a good job. All right, now, we all agree that's the end point. What's the end point to our church? I mean, what are we all doing here? What's the end point we hope to accomplish by being part of this community? Anybody, what's the end point?
Salvation.
Salvation is the end point. Salvation for who? For all of us. Like, who's all of us? Who's all of us? All of us. I say all of us. Is that like all of us in room one? All of us in this church, all of us outside the church that have yet to understand what the church is. I mean, the end game for the church is salvation for everybody. Right? Like, we pray in the services for the peace of God, and for the unity of the holy churches of God, and for the unity of all of us, having prayed for the unity of the faith, gathering all the people of earth in some kind of unity of faith, moving toward that end goal, which is heaven. Now, we all know what the answer is, right? We all articulate. The answer to this is salvation. Now, lots of people come to the church, ours and others, for other reasons than salvation. Some people come for socialization. Some people come for heritage. Some people come for culture. Some people come because it looks good for their kids. But not everybody in the church every Sunday is here with the end goal, which is salvation. So one of the challenges to us is to go over our minds on a continual basis. What's the end point? What's the reason that we're all here, which is our salvation? Yours, mine, and everybody else's. And in the gospel lesson this morning, which is one of the shortest passages of the year, we read a very, very important passage of scripture, which kind of sums up the whole ministry of Christ. John 3:16. How many people know that verse by memory? How many people have seen that at a football game? I remember when I went to Lutheran school, we learned that in first grade. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And in the Lutheran school, I think they threatened us with not graduating from second grade if we didn't learn that in the first grade. They said, you know, if you can't learn that, then there's like no hope for you. So we learned that. That's the first verse of scripture I ever learned. All right, and that verse of scripture is really important because it gives the beginning point and the end point, and all the points in between. All right, so we start off with God. God is the beginning point. God made everything. God made the earth and the heavens and the people, and the planets, and everything we see. God made it. And God made it because He loves us. God is full of love. That's God's end point. Loving everybody. So God loved the world so much that when He saw that the people of the world had kind of fallen away from what love was, He said, I'm not going to abandon them. I'm going to send them love. I'm going to send them my Son to show them what love is all about. Love is about sacrifice. So the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Love is about joy. Because Jesus didn't come preaching doom and gloom. He came preaching hope. And when you have hope, then you have happiness. And the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have is a love for Him, which makes us want to be one with Him, and a love for each other, which makes us want to serve each other and help each other out. And Jesus says in many places in the Bible, He's the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the life, the road, the door, the shepherd. He's all those things that we need. When we're in darkness, He's the light. When we're lost, He's the shepherd. When we don't know where to go, He's the door. All right? And no one goes more than a month without feeling one of those things. That we're somehow lost, or somehow sad. And that's how we go to the Lord, is He's the road, He's the joy, He's the shepherd. When we talk about being saved, Jesus, God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son to save the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. Well, savings have two things, saved from something and saved for something. So we're saved from feeling a sense of hopelessness, that we just do our time here and then we pass away and dust and return. Instead of having sadness and hopelessness about that, there is some hope that comes from the Lord. And we're saved for something even greater than we're doing here, which is inheritance of His kingdom. Now, trying to articulate this to teenagers and adults and understand it myself is very hard. That's why I just keep coming back every Sunday, hoping to learn a little bit more. I haven't mastered any of this. I'm still learning, just like everybody else is. That's why I keep coming back every week. That's why I keep going into the Bible. That's why I keep trying to pray. I haven't had a good liturgy in a while, and I had a great liturgy this morning. I was very focused on what I'm doing, because I spent a meeting with all these teenagers, and that inspired me. I was sitting in here a little bit later last night, about 12:45 this morning, and we were all sitting here on this land, and we were talking about the liturgy. And I asked the teenagers, does anyone know the meaning of the word liturgy? Anybody know the meaning of the word liturgy? Any of you know the meaning of the word liturgy? What does it mean? What does it mean? The work of the people. So we come in here and we work. And what's the work? We're praying for one another and for all kinds of things. We're praying. What's the first thing we pray for in the service? Don't answer if you were in here last night. What's the first thing we pray for in the service? Health, wealth, and prosperity. What's the first thing we pray for here? Peace. The absence of hostility. Peace. If you don't have peace in your life, you're going to have peace in your church, peace in your heart, and what good is all the other stuff? So we gather and we say, let's pray for peace. And then when church is over, we go outside and we say, let's work for peace. Let's make decisions that reflect things that are beneficial for our souls and promote peace in the world. This is work. I was telling somebody yesterday that my spiritual father, who's a really prolific writer, wrote an article years ago comparing a cruise ship to a battleship. And my spiritual father is a former Navy commander before going into the priesthood. So he knows a thing or two about battleships. And he says, on a cruise ship, on a battleship, you have a completely different mentality. If you go on a cruise ship, everything is taken care of for you. You're pampered. You eat when you want, you get up when you want, you go to bed when you want. There's really nothing to do on that ship other than relax and have a good time. Right? No one's really responsible or accountable for anything. Then when you get on a battleship, everyone's got a job. And every job is important. And all those jobs are a matter of life and death on the battleship. It doesn't have the cruise ship mentality. There's a sense of urgency. On a cruise ship, you don't have a sense of urgency. And so what we want in our churches is we want our churches to resemble battleships and not cruise ships. I mean, we're not just all along for the ride, come every Sunday, be pampered. We're here for a purpose. Everybody here's got a job, and all the jobs are important. And these jobs are a matter of life and death for me, you, and everybody else. Because how well this church does in its fight as a battleship has everything to do with how far we get individually and collectively in our spiritual journey. And what's the main work of the battleship? It's to proclaim Christ. That Christ has the power to change lives, starting with our very own. I said here last night, we were discussing different lines of liturgy, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but I said one of the lines of liturgy says, let us lift up our hearts. Now, how many people have ever been to a Christian rock concert? How many people have ever been to a Christian rock concert? How many people have ever seen a Christian rock concert? Footage of one on a video. Right? How many people have ever seen a Protestant evangelical kind of service on a video? Okay? One of the things that they do is they lift their hands up to the Lord. And that action, they just relax your whole body and just, stretch out my hands to the Lord. That's very liberating. Right? Instead of being kind of closed or tight in our own little world, we sort of expand that. We say, you know what? I'm going to lift my hands to God. Now, lots of people, if I gave this sermon in another church, not this one, since you all know me well, if I gave this message to another church, people would say, wow, he's like God blessing on us. Alright? But that's orthodox. We say, let's lift up our hearts. And that's supposed to be a moment of liberation for us. And all the people are supposed to cry out. We lift them up to the Lord. We're all supposed to do that. Extend your hand, Lord, from heaven, and grab my feeble hands that I'm raising to you. Right? That's part of the work of the church. And not just in the church. That's just your daily reminder. We need a reminder. You're supposed to go throughout your life every day and say, I lift my hands to you, Lord. Take me to the right place today. So wrapping this up, again, I'm sorry if I'm sort of inarticulate today. It's important that you all learn more about your faith. When you learn, knowledge has power for you. So if you don't know much about your faith, consider going to Bible study. Take the Orthodoxy 101 class. It's just a 3-week class. 3 Tuesdays, you're going to learn a lot about your faith. One of our kids last night was asking me a question about prayer. They said, well, God knows everything. God knows what I need. God knows what I'm going to pray about. And what's the whole point of praying? We had a whole discussion about that. And I bet that a lot of you probably have the same question. I would give a sermon about that another day. And that's okay if you have that question. We'll address that. There's time to address that. So my concluding thing is we need to adjust our lives so that they have some kind of sense of urgency. And we combine the mission of the battleship with the joy of the cruise. Let us lift up our hearts, and as we say in the liturgy, let us give thanks to the Lord. And I'm thankful for all of you braving the elements. I hope that you enjoy the kickoff of football season today. I'm going to enjoy a well-deserved nap. And thank you for worshiping this morning. God bless you. Amen.